How do parents speak with their kids about riots and protests in the news? Psychologist, author, parenting relationship expert, and host of Help Me Sarah on Saga 960 in Mississauga, Ontario, Sarah Dimmerman joins us on Canada Now. And Sarah, turning on the news, it's an ugly scene these days, but can spur on needed discussion about race and racism.
Absolutely. I mean, you mean between parents and children or just in general?
Well, in general, but specifically in this conversation between parents and children.
Well, you know, I think that children of all ages are being exposed to so much that's going on in the world around them right now. And this is just another, not that it's another thing, because of course it's a huge thing, but it's children, we had to talk to children a lot about what's going on in the world lately, and it's the racism, but it's also the looting. There's a lot of big world events that are happening right now that are sometimes difficult to explain to children. But, you know, if we can just step back for a second and talk about racism in general, because I think that depending on the position that we take and that we have taken as our children grow up, I think that will also reflect in the conversation that we might have with them about what's going on. And so what I would recommend for people that are listening that may even not be parents yet, even before you become a parent, I think it's so important to examine your own beliefs. And, you know, I'm in a bit of a unique position, not that I'm unique in that I came from another country, but having been born in South Africa during the period of apartheid, I was born into a world where racism was just normal. And I didn't have any choice. Well, I had a choice in terms of the way that we treated the people that worked for us with respect, but we didn't have a choice in terms of the way that the world was run or the country was run. And so, you know, I grew up with not having anybody of color, black or coloreds, riding in the same bus as me. It was a white only bus, whites only washrooms, whites only classrooms. And so when I came to Canada at the age of 15, it was a huge shock and change for me, and actually an opportunity for me to start to be able to see the world through different lenses. So I was in that position. But for people that are being raised in a country that is more aware of social justice and injustice, I think it's really important to examine your belief system. And it's not just about race, I think. It's about, because race is, you know, where we believe that we are superior, that if we're white and we're thinking about another race, that we as a white, as whites are superior to other races. And that's where what racism is about. But it's not just about color. I think it extends to our belief system about, people's sexuality. It extends to opinion about people's religion, whether we as a religious group are superior to another group. It extends to even the way that we think about people in our workplace that are perceived by some as being in lower positions. So I think it's about the belief system that we hold, and then how we impart that to our children. And it's not just about the things we say. I don't think that we can sit down and have a talk any more than we can ever talk about where the birds and bees come from. I think it's something that we impart to our children from before they're even born, from the time that we're pregnant and when they're babies. It's the subtle things that we say and do that reflect our belief system. And when you grow up in a country or in a family where you've experienced racist comments, or where you've experienced your parents or other adults in your life putting people down because they think that they're superior, I think we need to reevaluate where we stand and what our children are hearing. And, you know, it's interesting because when I speak to parents who have children that are university aged or older teenagers even, they will often call their parents out when they hear them say something racist. So just for example, I think, you know, often when people are driving, they may call out a specific race as being bad drivers, for example. And they may say it seemingly under their breath, but children hear it and children think about it and then they repeat it. So when children get older, they get really angry at their parents for making those kinds of comments most of the time. And I think that's because in today's world, we are so much more aware of social justice, or we hope, we try to be at least. Or children are taught about that in university, so then they translate it to their parents. So I know I'm rambling on. I want to give you a word.
No. Not at all, Sarah. And this lends itself into where I was going to go, because maybe one can, a parent that is, speak from experience, and you talk about your experience, and maybe that's something that you've shared with your kids in talking about race and racism. In having those experiences, I think it's important to be able to talk to your kids about that, should you have any personal experience with this sort of thing.
Right. And in fact, I took my children, who are now young adults, back to South Africa for the first time. I went back after 40 years of leaving. I went back a couple of years ago and took my husband and two daughters, who are young adults, and we went to the apartheid museum and we talked about that. And I mean, it's such a foreign concept for them to know that I lived in a world, and now, you know, country of South Africa is very much different. And in some way, you know, not to get into South Africa per se, but there's almost a bit of reverse racism happening there, because any time that any race believes that they're superior to another, that's racism. And so, you know, in South Africa, because it's still a black-white issue, because there's still division. Now the blacks are in power and the whites feel that they're discriminated against. So I think neither way is good. I mean, in any country in the world, ideally, we should all be able to live together without any discrimination towards anybody because of, as I said, race, religion, sexual orientation, the work that they do, anything like that should not be a factor in terms of how we treat people as social equals. So again, I think it's the way that our children see us, even speaking to somebody like, you know, somebody in a position that may be seen as inferior to others, like even, you know, not to say that cashiers are inferior, but the way that you talk to a cashier, the way that you talk to somebody who's cleaning the floors of a washroom. Any of that, I think we are imparting to our children that nobody deserves to be treated any differently because of how they are. And everybody's born. Like we don't have a choice in terms of how we're born, the color that we're born, the family that we're born into. We don't have a choice as to whether our parents are rich or poor. So I think that we all start out the same way. And I think that that's, as I said, not just about having talks, as you said, you know, I can share my personal experience, can take my children to countries such as South Africa to teach them how things were and how they're changing. But it's also about just the everyday things that we do and say that we may not be aware of.
You know, some parents' approach into talking about race or differences in general is to kind of shoo-shoo it, try to teach their kids to be colorblind. And I get the reasoning behind it, but with me, what I've been doing in my first born, having been in school for a couple of years now, but when he got into school, of course, now he's in this large group of kids, and you're going to see kids of all different kinds of race and what have you. And he would come home and he would innocently tell me, oh, this kid, the color of his skin is this, or this kid, you know, it looks different to me because of this. And I never like, shoo-shooed it at all. I would say, yes, honestly, none of that stuff matters. But yes, there are differences, and it's good to have a different mix of how people look and act, and it's nice to have differences, because if everybody looked the same and acted the same way and sounded the same way, you know, it'd be boring. I don't necessarily agree with the parenting approach of not recognizing differences, because I think that might feed into a problem that might occur later on in the kid's life.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because some people will say that children at a very young age, like maybe when they're kindergarten age, you know, are colorblind, that they don't discriminate, you know, unless they're told to. And so very young children probably wouldn't even mention a friend based on their color, for example. Mm-hmm. But as you said, like I was doing an interview with a a very accomplished young black man yesterday who was born in Ghana, and he, you know, came from very difficult beginnings and is now very accomplished. And he talked about, you know, being born and raised in Ghana. And I think it doesn't matter the color of his skin per se, but you're talking too about cultural differences, the country that you're born into, you know, the kinds of rituals that people of different countries and cultures and religions and that kind of thing, you know, is work towards or work within. So I agree with you that you don't want to you don't want to undermine that there are differences, but I like the message that you're giving that different doesn't mean bad. Different means interesting. Different means diverse. And I think it's wonderful when parents can expose their children at school or in community groups to people of all different races, religions, etc. Even if they, you know, go to a certain place of worship, that a lot of the time that they're also allowing their children to integrate. Because I think that if you separate your children and make them believe that their race or religion is superior, then that's what they're going to impart to others too.
Well, I was going to say, it might make for a difficult conversation in that your kid might see what's going on in the news and saying, well, what's going on there? It might be a tough conversation, but, you know, I would look at it the other way and say, hey, my kid's asking questions. Like, I applaud, in my case, his curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are two different things happening in the news right now. The one is about the police brutality. And it's being presented as a black-white issue, and you know, we do have to have that exposed, and wonder about, you know, white policemen using their brutality against a group that they may consider to be a certain way. So that's certainly one whole area to be examined, depending on the age of your child. But the other big thing that's happening in the news right now is the looting, and the looters are not necessarily the protesters. In fact, you know, my understanding is that they're not. People are protesting this death of George Floyd, but the people that are looting are taking advantage of a situation in which things are completely out of control. And it's not just a certain color or race that's looting. I mean, people are looting, so I think it's also a discussion about, unfortunately, what's happening in the world right now. And I think my understanding is that, you know, we're going through a difficult pandemic where people are feeling very, isolated. And this has almost put them over the tipping edge in some way and has caused them to come out of their bubbles in hordes and do things that are just not what we would expect from normally functioning human beings. So I think that it's not just a racism issue that's going on right now. It's about the state of the world. And I think that those are issues that young children especially probably wouldn't understand. It's hard enough for us to understand them as adults. But again, the concept that sometimes good people do bad things and, you know, we can only do the right things ourselves. And we hope that people can help those people do the right things too. And so there's so many different topics of conversation, and I think a lot depends on the age of your children. But I would also suggest that for parents that are sitting glued to the news, that they not have those news channels on all the time in front of those kids, because it can be a very frightening world for children to be exposed to right now.
It can be very overwhelming, that's for sure, for adults, let alone for kids. But in... And we talked about it in terms of the pandemic as well, Sarah, when we first, you know, were all in our homes as a result of the pandemic. You know, in a similar vein, we can really step up and comfort our children in that, yes, we all need to take a responsibility in our place in society and to make the world a better place.
Right.
But at the same time, that there are good people in the world, and they are trying as hard as we are, and in maybe in positions of more power right now,
right.
where they are working hard to make a difference. I mean, I think you have to actually believe that, and that can certainly vary depending on where you live, if you know what I mean. But it's instilling a bit of trust as well that the world can be a good place, and there are good people that are in it too.
I think the other message that we can teach our children is about anger and anger management. Because I think the message or the story here that I think is that, you know, the protesters, many of them protesting calmly, are protesting against an innocent life lost. And right now that happens to be, you know, racially, the racial tones in terms of the four white male, you know, four white male officers. It could even be a male brutality issue too, but, you know, it's about the police and going against this one innocent man. And I think so these, you can talk to your children about how some people are calmly protesting this death and trying to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And then there are other people who are, as I said, taking advantage of this opportunity to do bad things and even acting out their anger. And so it's an opportunity for discussion too about what can we do when we're angry. And, you know, even saying, talking to your older kids about, do you think it's okay that people are looting? Do you think it's okay that people are protesting? You know, whether if they protest quietly and you know, without hurting anybody, is that okay? So you can have these discussions, but a lot of it is about how we express anger. And I think the looting is partially about that, but the looting is also about taking advantage of an opportunity when they saw one, when people see one.
Check out HelpMeSarah.com. Psychologist, author, parenting, relationship expert, Sarah Demmerman. Sarah, it's always a pleasure to get your perspective on things. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.